Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. On this day in 1925, John Logie Baird performed the first test of a working television system. With the start of the 30th Kältehilfe, or cold aid season, organizers have called for a stronger fight against the causes of homelessness. Caritas director Ulrike Kostka stated, quote, "The rapid expansion of cold aid must come to an end. With more places, the actual problem is not solved, and one runs the risk of making temporary arrangements permanent. What we need most of all are affordable apartments." Diakonie director Barbara Eschen spoke out in favor of expanding accommodation, making it available all year round, but the aim must be to bring people back into their own homes. In recent years, the number of Kältehilfe places has risen sharply, and the season has been extended. According to the Senate Department for Social Affairs, a good 440 places to sleep in the warmth are available since yesterday, and by the end of the year, there should be more than 1,150, which is more places than last winter at its peak. As a comparison, according to data, there were an average of 369 beds in 2009-2010. The current season runs until the end of April 2020, with most offers for the homeless in Mitte and in Friedrichshain-Kreuzberg. Oliver Bergel, chairman of the Central Association of Free Welfare Work, or Liga Berlin, stated that Kältehilfe is a, quote, last emergency system, but sustainable solutions are required at the beginning of the process. For example, he's calling for more social counseling and an official early warning system for rent obligations and imminent eviction. And socio-political speaker of the FDP, Thomas Sierig, added, quote, "Berlin needs active housing construction politics instead of the consequences of its own failure to administer." Kostka also is calling for a long-term social commitment for at least 30% of new housing, a stop to vacancies, speculation and the misappropriation of living space, and the prevention of evictions by absorbing rent debts. She argued in favor of carefully developed rent control with possible consequences for all groups, such as small private landlords, having to be clarified beforehand. The rent cap planned by the Red Greens is not a bad idea, she stated, but the procedure may be hasty. According to estimates, 6,000 to 8,000 homeless people are living in Berlin, many of them coming from Eastern Europe, and the number is rising. The number of people in Berlin without their own apartment who live with relatives, friends, in temporary accommodation or dormitories is estimated at around 50,000. For many Berlin toddlers, vaccination protection is not sufficient. This is the conclusion of an evaluation by Techniker Krankenkasse, or TK, the results of which state that half of the children born in 2016 insured with TK in Berlin have not received all recommended vaccinations by their second birthday, and moreover, 3.2% did not receive any vaccinations recommended by the Standing Vaccination Commission, or STIKO. Per the report, 12% of the Berlin children tested were incompletely vaccinated against measles, and 7% not at all. Suzanne Herzer, head of the TK in Berlin, stated that it's good that most parents in Berlin take care of their children's vaccinations, but for complete protection, however, all partial vaccinations are necessary. This is shown by the example of whooping cough. 4 out of 5 Berlin children, or 80.7%, are vaccinated against the disease. 15.2%, on the other hand, received only partial protection, and 4.1%, none at all. According to the World Health Organization, the proportion of fully vaccinated children has to be at least 95% to ensure community protection. TK reports that only then would enough people be vaccinated to protect those who have not yet been vaccinated or who could not be immunized at all. Nationwide, the Berlin numbers land in about the middle. While the proportion of incompletely vaccinated infants in Hesse is 69%, in Brandenburg it's almost 40%, and in Mecklenburg-Western Pomerania, 37%. Against the background of excessively low rates, compulsory vaccination has been discussed for some time. Professor Dr. Gerd Glasige at the University of Bremen states that, quote, "A compulsory vaccination should be the last resort. We need more education to ensure that children and adults are fully vaccinated. It should be clear to everyone that the health of the community is at stake." Der Tag der Deutschen Einheit, or the Day of German Unity, will be marked, among other things, by a right-wing extremist march and numerous counter-demonstrations. The association Wir für Deutschland has registered a demonstration for this Thursday in Berlin under the slogan Zweiter Tag der Nation, or Second Day of the Nation. Numerous members of neo-Nazi associations from Brandenburg and other federal states, as well as members of the NPD, right-wing extremists, and people from the Reich citizen spectrum, took part in earlier demonstrations of Wir für Deutschland on October 3rd of 2018. According to police, the organizer expects 5,000 participants. And according to a spokesperson, the demonstration route has now been determined. It will start at Washingtenplatz, south of the Hauptbahnhof, and from there head via Kapelleufer and Reinhardtstrasse to Friedrichstrasse, and on to Checkpoint Charlie, and from there again via Zimmerstrasse, Krausenstrasse, Axel Springerstrasse, and Getreidenstrasse to the endpoint at Neptunbrunnen at Alexanderplatz. The Mobile Beratung gegen Rechtsextremus, or Mobile Counseling Against Right-Wing Extremism, considers the figure of 5,000 people unrealistically high. This would correspond to five times the number of previous participants. Most recently, Wir für Deutschland, or We for Germany, marched through the government district on November 9, 2018, the 80th anniversary of the November pogroms, and only 140 demonstrators took part. Afterwards, the organizer Kay Honecke had publicly announced that he would not hold any more demonstrations. However, there was already a registration of his association for this October 3rd. Against the demonstration, numerous counters have been announced associated with the Bündnis gegen Rechts, or Alliance Against the Right. A rally is to be held at 1 p.m. at the Friedrich-Ecke-Johannesstrasse. Counter-events will also take place at 1:30 on Elle-Tribe-Strasse and at 2 p.m. at Unter den Linden, corner of Friedrichstrasse. The police are preparing to keep both sides apart with a large contingent and will be deploying several thousand officers. Since the end of August, S-Bahn operations in eastern Berlin have been severely affected by construction work. With the beginning of the autumn holidays, closures will be further extended. As announced by Deutsche Bahn on Monday, from this Friday at 4 a.m. until November 14th, no trains will run on the S-75, Wattenberg to Ostbahnhof, on the entire line. In addition, train service on line S-7, Ahrensfelde to Potsdam, between Ahrensfelde and Noldenerplatz, will be discontinued all day. From Friday, the S5 will no longer be able to travel between the stations Wulltal and Ostkreuz. According to S-Bahn boss Peter Buchner, around 220,000 passengers who normally board the regular trains on weekdays are affected by the restrictions. He went on to say that the S5 is one of the busiest lines in the entire Berlin S-Bahn system. The reason for the closures is extensive work around the Biesdorfer Kreuz railway junction. For an overview of the most important closures and replacement services, please follow the link in our show notes. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back on Friday. Enjoy the holiday, and thanks for listening.